Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 36 of Juvo Hub. We are grateful again for all of you, our fantastic, awesome guests and participants and viewers and all of you wonderful people. Thank you for being here today. We have another awesome guest with us, Ed Buckley from Avenue 5. Before we introduce him and hear his amazing story, and it is an awesome one, some great metaphors. He's been in the industry for such a long time. Mark and I love him to death and cannot wait to have a great conversation about the resiliency in our industry and seeing it from his perspective. So looking forward to that in just a moment. Before we get into that, let's talk to Mark Howell from Howell Creative Concepts with our tip of the day. Mark, what do you have for us?
Yes, so thank you. And Ed, I'm so excited to have you on our show. I can't wait for us to get started. I've missed talking to you, buddy, but my tip of the day for you guys is, it's not really my tip, it's a quote from Maya Angelou who said, "When someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time." And a dear friend of mine has quoted this to me all through my career in property management. And it isn't just about property management. It's about understanding that in any kind of business or friendship or relationship, when someone shows you who they are, believe them, whether that be good or bad. And I look at that sort of from a, what was bad about you showing me who you are in business? I look at the way you treat others. It may not be affecting me personally, but if you are a leader of people, I'm actually watching to make sure that you're treating other people well, because I have always said that if you won't treat some of the other employees that are working for your organization well, then it's only a matter of time that you'll turn on me or come for me. So be very cautious about who's watching you. And that quote, you know, when you're showing people who you are, then please show them the best side of who you are. So that's my tip for you guys today.
Awesome. Along those lines of emotional intelligence. Thank you, Mark. Great, yes. Great tip. Love it, love it, love it. So my tip of the day has to do with learning and development. So I just wanted to highlight a couple of reminders. If you are an instructional designer for your company, so you're the person that develops course content, whether it's for e-learning, or maybe you develop content as a trainer. So a couple things to keep in mind. To make sure you step out beyond just the title. There is so much to developing content. You really need to think about it from who your audience is. So when you're working with your subject matter expert, make sure that you have a good, clear conversation and vet those objectives. What are the course objectives? What is going to be the conclusion? Try and put yourself in the role of that student so that they know exactly what is going to be required of them, whether it's in a live course or if it's in an e-learning course. So quick tip of the day, please remember to have that solid conversation with your subject matter expert to understand the expectations of that course content that you are creating. So without further ado, let us... Do we have a drum roll?
Yes.
I'm going to get one of those fancy machines and actually have like an electronic drum roll. But everybody, ladies and gentlemen, Ed Buckley from Avenue 5. Ed, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. It's great to be here. It's great to see both of you again.
Yeah. Yeah. So honored to have you with us. We've known you for a long time. I was trying to think, Ed, when and where I met you, how many years ago that was. I'm sure it was Atlanta Apartment Association or some IRM event, but we respect you, love you to death, love all the things you've done for our industry. So glad that you're with us today. Give us a rundown. Where are you? You're with Avenue 5. We'd love to hear about what the span of your career in property management.
Well, you know, since this is a limited you know, time here, I'll have to give you the Reader's Digest version, because it's been, I've been in this business about 25 years, and I got into it in kind of a different way. You know, that's a question I always like to ask people in interviews, is how did you get into this business? Because there are no, you know, with the exception of maybe Brandy Bodwin and a few other people, nobody grew up in this business. No, there's very few, you know, 10-year-old boys running around saying, well, I want to either be a fireman or a policeman or a property manager. So the,
right.
The way people find their way into this business is always interesting to me. And I actually had a different career before this. I worked for 15 years for a company called Ciba Vision that manufactured contact lenses. And towards the end of my tenure there, I was doing systems development and implementation for them. We were installing new customer service systems, delivery systems. And, you know, once we got them all installed, I got laid off from that job and was looking at, you know, other careers. And Equity Residential at the time was writing their own property management software called Wiz. And they were looking for somebody to come in and help them sort of finish the development and then roll the training and implementation out around the country. So they hired me to do that. And I did that for a couple of years with them. And then, you know, once that project was over, you know, there wasn't anything left to do from that standpoint. So they offered to put me into the property management role. And, you know, keep in mind, I was a corporate employee then. I was a director level employee, but they weren't, you know, they weren't thinking about making me a regional or a director like that. They put me on a property in Roswell, Georgia, called Martin's Landing. And they said, we'd love to have you stay with the company, but this is where you got to start. So that's what I did. And I wasn't really happy about it, but I learned a lot about this business from starting at that property. And, you know, I knew all the systems already, but I'd never worked on site. So I worked there for a couple of years and then got promoted to district manager with them. And then regional manager. And then of course Equity pulled out of Atlanta and everybody got laid off. So, but I've been in this industry around Atlanta. I've been with the Worthing Companies. I've been with the Integral Property Management, of course, Gray Star, probably most recently. And I've had a lot of great experiences, worked on a lot of properties. I've managed everything from, you know, A properties in Fort Lauderdale to D properties in Texarkana, Arkansas. So wow. I feel like I've seen it all at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And now you're with Avenue 5 and they are what were you telling me? Are they a fee managed company? What type of property management company are they?
Give us. Right. Avenue 5 Residential we do all third party management.
Okay.
We're just about 6 years old now. Mm-hmm. And we've grown from, started off with about 6,000 units. We've grown to 78,000 units in those 6 years. It's all been generic growth. We haven't bought any other management companies or anything like that. So it's been great growth. Most of it takes place out on the West Coast. So I always tell people Avenue 5 is the biggest, best property management company that you've never heard of. And that's true for a lot of people on the East Coast. Right now, our portfolio is focused in the DC market, DC, Baltimore, but we're expanding out both up into the Northeast, and we've recently taken on a lease up in Charlotte. We'll be in Florida by the end of the year. So, you know, we're hoping to grow the portfolio up and down the East Coast over the next couple of years.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Cool. Congratulations. You know,
thank you.
And it's good to hear. Good to see business is good. And you know, we're happy for you. And, you know, when thinking of the years that you've had in the industry, you know, when you and I were talking, preparing for this show, and I know Mark's going to chime in on this one. It's like you've always maintained, and that's one of the reasons why we're so happy to have you on the show, like such a positive attitude, like just that short, like you said, the Reader's Digest version was just like, well, that's a lot of stuff, man. You went through a lot of different things and are so well respected in the industry. So we're grateful to have you here. So like, what has kept you going? Like, you, I think we were using the word resiliency. So for yourself, for the industry, like, is that a good word? Do you feel like that's how you've carried on as you've moved from different job positions throughout your career?
Yeah, I think that, you know, this you have to be resilient in this industry. I mean, you know, this, we manage people's homes, you know. You know, I think there was a quote I saw that somebody had up is that, you know, residents don't live where we work where they live. And so there's all, you have to be resilient because there's always going to be another issue and another hill to climb as far as managing properties. And it doesn't matter where they are. It doesn't matter if they're in California or if they're in DC or if they're in Atlanta, there's always going to be challenges. And you know, you have to meet them, and you have to continue to push on because people are relying on us, you know, for where they live.
Yeah, love it. Mark, what are your thoughts?
I was just thinking, you know, when I, my tip was, you know, when someone shows you who they are, believe them. And Ed, I have to say, you have always shown me who you are, and that is such an incredible man with integrity. You treat people with such kindness. And when I think of the word resilient, I can only imagine that it's you being resilient to all the different types of people that you have to come in contact with, because whoever gets blessed to work with you or be near you is blessed with some positivity, some really great reinforcements. Have you ever been in a bad mood? I don't know that I've ever seen that. Maybe I should call some of the people that have worked with you, but I know back in our Worthing days, you just always had such a great positive attitude. And I would love to know from someone in your position, what kind of tips would you give someone? What is that? What is that about you that makes you who you are? Is that some kind of special sauce, or what's the secret?
Yeah. That's tough for me to answer, Mark. Cause I just try to, and it sounds so cliche. I hate to even say it, but you know, I just try to, you know, treat people the way that I would want to be treated, and try to understand that, you know, everybody's kind of going through something. And, of course I get frustrated. People that have worked with me, you know that, you know, I can go on a tirade and, you know, cuss with the best of them when I'm not happy about something. But I always try to not make it personal. It's the situation that, you know, is frustrating, and we need to work our way through the situation and solve the problem. It's, you know, yelling at each other or anyone is not helpful to the situation.
Yeah, that's so true. And good advice. You know, we are in a people business. It's so funny to me. We've always been in a people business, but there are so many people in this business that are not people. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm like, yeah. Oh my gosh, please go find something else. You know, like that's my advice to some. But I think you're right. I think you have to try to find a solution for the problem, and realize that you're dealing with people. And with that, there's emotions, there's feelings, there's all of that too. So.
Yeah.
And leading by example, which is, you know, what I think you've kind of eloquently spoke that, like, this is who you are. And a lot of times it's difficult to follow someone's lead when they don't live by their own words. So we're confident that that's the example that you set, which kind of leads us to like another question. Just, and I know some people are a little bit tired of talking about maybe about COVID and its effects and the challenges. But it's still pretty raw. And I feel, Ed, and I don't know if you agree with this or not, I feel like we're on this plane now where it's like, truly, we see the light at the end of the tunnel. Truly, we're seeing things starting to move back to normal. And we're sharing with each other stories, like almost like survival stories, whether it's on a personal level or whether it's on a business level, everyone has a story. How, like, what have you seen with your colleagues, coworkers, and so on? Like, anything along that line that would echo resiliency and what you've seen others go through?
Yeah, that's. I'm so glad you asked that question, because I've, you know, obviously talked to so many people about in the last, you know, 15, 16 months about COVID and how we dealt with it and, you know, how we got through it. And again, you know, it's one of those situations where we didn't have it. We had residents. We had to, you know, sort of persevere through this thing and make sure that, you know, people were getting serviced and we, you know, we kept the properties clean and all of that stuff. But, you know, I was amazed at the resilience and the creativity that went in to, you know, us managing through this pandemic. You know, just a perfect example is, you know, Jamin Harkness put together those calls, those weekly calls last spring and through the summer. And those calls had, you know, competitors on them. They had vendors on them, and nobody, you know, as an industry, you know, in Atlanta, and I'm sure it happened elsewhere, but we pulled together and we shared ideas. And I learned so much from just being on those calls. And I was lucky enough to speak on those, you know, to be a guest on there a couple of times. And just everybody, it wasn't like all the competition went away. It didn't matter if you were Avenue 5 or Graystar or Ram or Lincoln or Tribridge. Nobody was holding back. We were saying, this is what we're doing. This might help. This works. And I was just amazed at those calls, and to see us all pull together, and in the office people, the people that work in our leasing centers, just amazing. They had to go, you know, behind plexiglass, you know, in closed offices with masks, you know, doing switching from, and I'll tell you, I wasn't a big fan of the virtual tours and the self-guided tours. I'm like, oh, that will never catch on. And then COVID hit, and I was like, how quickly can we get signed up for these self-guided tours? So, you know, we had to make changes, and as an industry, I was just amazed at how we pulled together and got ourselves through that.
Mm-hmm. That is so awesome. And hat tip to Jamin I guess it sounds like he was coordinating those calls. So was that for Avenue 5 specifically, or is that just kind of like in general, like leaders getting together and discussing challenges and topics?
Yeah. And like I said, it was leaders. It was all the property men, property management companies, owner managers. There were vendors on the line every week. I think Yardi, I think we actually used Yardi's Zoom line. And there would be 200 people on these calls sometimes.
Wow.
And, you know, there were vendors were allowed to be on the call, but they really weren't allowed to, you know, sell. They were allowed to, you know, just talk about what their products were, you know, doing to help us through the pandemic. And, and I think, you know, through the pandemic as an industry, we sort of came through. I mean, there's still properties still have some lingering delinquency issues, but I think, you know, we're coming out of this thing, and what we're hearing is, you know, it's full speed ahead as far as leasing and rent increases and that kind of thing. So, you know, we got through another one. You know, it's the 2008, there was the recession that hurt us. But we, you know, we seem to be, like you said, on the other side of this pandemic thing and starting to move forward.
Ed, would you say that, and you know, let's maybe not so much just about the pandemic, the trials and tribulations of the pandemic, but what would you say in your experience in so many different roles, different companies where you've experienced some things, what was the most challenging? Is there any one particular thing? You don't have to give me the company name, but maybe the situation that you felt, wow, I survived that and it made me stronger. And how, what was that? What got you through it? What would you say in all the things that you've experienced, what was the most trying if you have one?
I don't know if I have one, but I think that, I've always kind of been the cleanup guy, Mark. You know, I don't get the flashy new lease up, you know, high rise properties. You know, they send Ed in on the cleanup duty on mile four. You know, it's there's a property that is, you know, struggling. You got to go in and fix it. And so, you know, there's been several of those over the course. Most recently, you know, there was one in the DC market that, you know, when you're in the third party business, you're only 30 days away from losing a property anytime. Yeah, so there was a property that was struggling, and you got to go in and you got to sort of ascertain where you are. And, you know, it sort of gets, you guys talked about your tip for the day. And I think mine would be, you know, you can't just go in and wave a wand and turn a property around. It doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. You gotta go in and you gotta just start making the right decisions from day one. And you can't do anything about what's happened in the past. You might have to clean it up, but if you continue to work at it every day and make the right decisions, then things are going to start to get better and things will turn around. And that property that I'm talking about was, you know, probably 85% occupied, absolutely hemorrhaging money every month. I'm happy to say a year and a half later, that property is 96% occupied. And we just finished the first half of the year and they're on budget and exceeding NOI but it didn't happen. It took a while to work through the issues.
Yeah. Wow. Well, good. Now I know you're the cleaner. So that's your
cleaner. Yeah.
and apparently the tool that is not in Ed's toolbox is the magic wand. He doesn't have the Disney.
Yeah.
Abracadabra. Yeah.
I wish there was one, but if somebody goes in and a month later the property is, you know, 10 points higher in occupancy and all of a sudden run an NOI, I'd be looking at those numbers pretty hard.
Yeah. So, you know, we're connected on social, and Mark and I were talking about this, you know, before we jumped on our recording session. So you're a racer, you're a runner, and you've been
yes,
the Peachtree Road Race, if that's the right one.
Right.
For how many years now?
20. To this year is my 25th.
Wow. 25th year. Wow. Wow. So we wanted to hear the story, and I think this relates to everything in this conversation, Ed. So what happened this year? Tell us.
Well, I mean, you know, I've obviously been a runner for 25 years or more. So, running, people that know me know running is a really important part of my life.
Yeah.
Back in February, I took a little spill on some stairs in my house, and I ruptured my quadricep tendon on my right knee. I can remember sitting there on the floor when it happened. And the first thing that crossed my mind was, wow, this is bad. I knew it was bad right away. I'm like, wow, I'm not going to be able to run it anymore. And that was a struggle right from the beginning. I mean, so, I had to go through the whole MRI process. I had surgery on February 16th. And then right after, you know, so I've got, you know, my knee is a mess and I can't walk and the whole thing. And I'm, and so, but I decided that I wasn't going to stop running. You know, I was never fast to begin with, but, you know, I decided that I wasn't going to stop. And so like 2 days after I got out of surgery, I signed up for the Peachtree Road Race.
Wow.
And I kind of put it out there. You know, I told the, when I started physical therapy, I said, look, I have to golf again, you know, and I have to run the Peachtree Road Race. That's, you know, those things are not negotiable. So let's get to work. You know, it kind of goes back to what I was saying before, running. And that's why I love running and I love training for races, because you can't do that in a day either. You know, you can't, you know, I've been lucky enough to run a lot of races. I've done 3 marathons in the last 25 years, and they're not something that you can, you know, you can't just work out for a week and go run a marathon. It takes months of preparation. And it's kind of the same thing, like I was saying, you know, with turning a property around. It's the things that you do every day that prepare you for real change over the long term. It's not, there is no magic wand. And if you, you know, training for a race like the Peachtree, which is a 10K or a marathon, it's, you know, it's the effort that you put in every day that, that results in you being able to finish that race at the end. I was getting ready to run a race. Actually it was my son, and he was running a marathon, and we were talking with another runner before the race started. And she said, well, you know, the hay is in the barn at this point. Mm-hmm. And that metaphor meant, you know, all the work is done at this point. It's just a matter of the next few hours getting yourself down this, you know, through this race. So, you know, I think, you know, that kind of goes back to my tip for the day. And, you know, I think people are afraid to take on challenges like that because they're afraid of failing. And there's certainly a chance of that. But if you, you know, if you have a training plan and you go through it day by day and you do the things you're supposed to do, then good things, you know, good things will happen at the end. And I was so pleased to be able to finish the Peachtree this year. I didn't run the whole way. I had a plan worked out where I walked some, you know, I would run a half a mile and walk a half a mile. But the important thing was finishing and getting to the end. So
that's incredible.
It is. What a great story. I kind of got lost a little bit. And were you giving advice about your, you know, professional experience or this race? Because both apply. Like, no wonder, man, no wonder you have had such an incredible career and you're such a positive person, because you live with that passion, that finish the race, you know, whatever it takes, get back up, get it done. That's why you are who you are.
Yeah. I have a little in my gym here at home, I have a little sign up there on the wall, and it says, if it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you.
That's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, I mean, my message would be, don't be afraid to take on challenges that seem impossible, because if you put the time in, you can do it.
Yeah. And follow through. That was my takeaway. You know, Ed, when you were sharing your story with me, when we're on our call, it's like going back to COVID or any challenge, 2008, we talked about that one also. And sometimes you limp to the end. It may not be pretty how you got there, but we finish what we're assigned and we fight through it. So I just thought, thank you so much for sharing that story. When I saw that on social, I'm like, oh my, look at this guy. There's nothing going to stop him. You know, what a crazy, it made me hurt just you describing that, just coming down the stairs. And I've had a knee injury before, and I remember, oh my Lord, that hurt. Oh, I was hollering. So I can't even imagine, but yeah, kudos to you. And just, again, as Mark said, we're talking about resiliency today, and we appreciate you. We thank you for the example and leadership that you have given our industry. And it's been an honor to have you on the show today.
Yes.
Oh, well, I appreciate it, guys. I appreciate your time. And again, it's great to see you both again. I can't wait till we can see each other in person at some of the meetings that are coming up.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Looks like we're getting back into some in-person ones in IRM and the Atlanta Apartment Association here locally in Atlanta. So it's good to see. So Ed, how can people connect with you? Give us Avenue 5. What's their website? How can people connect with you on social?
Yeah, you know, avenue5.com is our website. If you're like most people in the East and you haven't heard of us, you know, please take a look at our website. And
the word five, or is it the number five?
Just it's the number five. Yeah. Avenue and the number five.
Okay.
And my email is just ebuckley@avenue5. You can find me on LinkedIn. If you're, you know, if you have questions, I'm happy to answer them. If anybody's looking, you know, again, we're looking to expand our portfolio, into the Southeast. So if anybody out there is looking for some third-party management, we'd love to talk to you about us, about Avenue 5, and tell you what we could do.
Perfect. Perfect. Cool. Thank you so much. Yeah, definitely, everyone listening, make sure you check that out. And my main man, Mark Howell.
Yes. So, yeah, you can reach me, excuse me, at howellcreativeconcepts.com, which Howell is spelled H-O-W-L, like howl at the moon. But I'm on LinkedIn and Facebook. So if you have any tips for me, or you want to have a conversation about any of the topics that we've had, please reach out, let us know. And I know Jonathan and I both are always looking for new guests that are passionate like Ed about something that you're doing out there in your daily life, whether it be personal or professional, but share it with us, call us, tell us if you want to be a guest on the show, and we'd love to have you guys on.
Absolutely. We want to hear your story, because it's encouraging. We love having all of our guests. We're grateful to have Ed here with us today, and looking forward to our next episode. So thank you everyone for being here. Be sure to give us a thumbs up, follow us on your favorite podcast station, connect with us on our YouTube channel if YouTube is your preferred medium, and of course, juvohub.com. You can sign up for our newsletter so you don't miss out on any of these episodes is another option. So thank you again, episode 36. We thank you for being here. We will see you on our next episode. Take care, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Thanks, guys.